I'm a little bit more calm, cool, and collected than last time I spoke. I was really emotional, and I don't know why, but I think it was just the conviction of what the Lord was asking me to do in that moment, and that transparency that he was asking me to do. In this same season, though, the message that I want to talk about today is all about diversity, but before I get into it, I just want to pray. Father God, thank you so much for this opportunity to speak, Lord. Just let your words come flow out of me, Lord. Not anything that I could say or do will amount to the work that you could put into this service, Lord. And just let your will be done today, Lord, and in each and every day that we live and follow you, Lord. I pray for my clarity, Lord, and my words. Let them just be peaceful and calm, Lord, and not let me get overwhelmed while I'm up here, because I just want to bring you glory whatever I do, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So obviously we're talking about diversity, and if you look at me, I'm a very diverse person. I am African-American, but as my mom would like me to also remember that I'm also white. And that's very, very serious. I come from a very diverse family. My mom and dad are right there in the back. He's the bald guy with the big beard, and my mom is the light-skinned lady over there. They are a diverse couple, but my dad is actually African-American. My mom is mixed with white, and her dad is white, and my real dad is black, and my real granddad is black, and my also real granddad is white. So it's just like a really melting pot of who I am. When we talk about diversity, it's God's heart, and that's God's people. We are a diverse people. If you look around the room, we are many different colors. We come from many different backgrounds. But if I'm answering the question today, how has my ethnicity played a role in my life and my walk with Christ? The next thing I will say is it's nothing but the grace of God that I am who I am today. Nothing but the grace of God that I'm able to talk to you and be able to speak to you right now about who I am, because it's been all about his grace has gotten me to where I am right now. And I get emotional thinking about that, because there's a lot of places that I could be if not for his grace. This past week, I had a cousin that was shot 5 times in Clearwater, same last name as me, shot 5 times in Clearwater over an argument that he had with somebody. Somebody that's the same blood I got, same last name that I have. And it was just a clear representation of, without the grace of God, where I could have been. If you look up my last name, you probably won't like the results that you see, because my family, the divine name, has not been known for great things. But God has been so good. If you look up my last name and look up images, or you look up Chris Devine, you look up images, you'll find Chris Devine and Wind Shape Camps and the good things that God has done through me, because nothing but the grace of God has gotten me to where I am today. Like I said, there's a lot of the places that I could be, but I chose to follow him. Psalms 119, 105, let me get to it. It says, your word is a lamp to my feet, a light for my path. And I think about my life, and that has been the guiding path for me, is God's word. And he's spoken it through just reading the Bible, but he's also spoken it through people in my life. His word has been a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. He's gotten to me where I am today. So I just want to talk about who I am. I know that when I shared last time, I gave a little bit of my testimony, but I don't want to go over all of it again. But my name is Chris Devine, for those of you who I have not met. It's D-E-V-I-N-E, not D-I-V-I-N-E. It's not Devin, it's Devine. I'm 24 years old. Like I said, I'm black and white. I work at Chick-fil-A Largo on Armington Road. I'm the marketing director there. Praise God for that. I plan on pursuing Chick-fil-A with the rest of my life, so eat more chicken. That is my my life motto. But I just want to talk to you about who I am, where I come from. I don't think I've shared this with my mom before, but the earliest memory that I have about my life, the earliest memory that I can remember, is that we were standing outside of our apartment. It was my mom and my dad, my real dad, and they were arguing. And I just remember just standing there. I was a little kid. I don't know how old I was. And my dad, in a moment of frustration, reached out and choked my mom. And I can see that vividly in my head. And it pains me to think about the season and the moment that my mom and my dad were in. But God was so good in that he took us out of that situation. And then it was just me and my mom growing up. So from that moment on to when I was about 11 or 12 years old, it was just me and my mom growing up. And obviously my Mimi was there. And obviously my family was there. But my mom was my rock. She was my everything. So growing up, it was just me and my mom. And I saw a lot of men come in and out of my mom's life. But there was one guy that came, and his name was Mike, and he was a little bit different. My mom had this list, she said, of everything she wanted in a man, And he was probably tall, dark, and handsome, and light skin, and had muscles, and could do all these different things. And as handsome as my stepdad Mike is, he wasn't one of those wants of what my mom thought she wanted in a man. But goodness gracious, he was everything that my mom needed in a man, because he was a man that fought off the guard's heart. And when he came into our life, our life changed. We switched from going to a church that had about maybe 20 people to a church that had over 100-something people, and was able to fully develop my faith through that. Going through middle school and through high school, the Lord put great mentors into my life. He put Richie and Misty into my life. He put Miss Ernestine into my life. He put just many different people that poured into who I was. But something that was evident is that the stuff that was going on outside of the people that he was pouring into, the family problems and the different situations, he was keeping me from all of that in the midst of guiding me and putting me on the right path. So moving forward, my life has not been rainbows and butterflies. It's obviously been some hills and valleys, but God has been faithful and he's been good through all of it. So that's who I am. And I just have three different verses that I want to share with you guys. It won't be long at all, but I just want to share these three different verses and how they have really affected my life. The first one is Proverbs 22, verse 4 through 6. It says, "True humility and fear from the Lord lead to riches, honor, and long life. Corrupt people walk in thorny, treacherous roads. Whoever values life will avoid those roads. Direct your children onto the right path, and when they're older, they will never leave from it." So I just want to talk about my mom again. This is the last part is really what I want to hit on, is to direct your children onto the right path, and when they were older, they will never depart from it. When I think about my ethnicity and how it's played a role in my life, it's because of my mom. She has been so faithful, and she's just really showed me in every season of her life the faithfulness that it requires you to have. When we didn't have anything, she was still faithful. When we were eating hot dogs and bread, she was still faithful because the Lord provided hot dogs and bread. In every season of our life, he was so faithful. So when I think about train up a child in the way that it should go, direct your children onto the right path, and when they are older, they will never depart from it. I will never go without, because I know that my God is faithful, because he was faithful for my mom, he was faithful for my grandmother, he was faithful for you, so he's also going to be faithful for me. Train up a child in the way that you should go. I know, but we've eaten hot dogs and bread, that God is still good. Like, I know that. I said the Lord used her influence in my life to keep me from wandering. My mom never, ever wanted me to view myself as a statistic. She had me young. She was a single mom. And when you look up the statistics of having a kid out of high school, if you look up a kid having a kid out of wedlock, or if you look up the statistics of being African-American in general, they aren't good. I promise you, they're not good. But God has been so good to me that he's kept me from all of that and has been so faithful. And I sound like a broken record, but he has really kept me from what the world says that I could amount to what he says that I can amount to what he has called me to do. So moving on to the second point, Isaiah 55, verses 8 through 13. It's a little bit wordy, so stay with me. It says, "My thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord, and my ways are far beyond anything you can imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. The rain and the snow come down from the heavens and stay on the ground to the water of the earth. They cause the grain to grow and producing seed for the farmer and bread for the hungry. It is the same with my word. I send it out, and it always produces fruit. I'll say it again. I send it out, and it always produces fruit. It will accomplish what I want it to. It will prosper everywhere I send it. You will live in joy and peace. The mountains and the hills will burst into song, and the trees in the field will clap their hands. Where there were once thorns, cypress trees will grow. Where their nestles grew, myrtles will sprout up. These events will bring great honor into the Lord's name. There will be an everlasting sign of his power and love." I just want to jump up to Isaiah 55, verse 8 again. It says, "My thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord, and my ways are far beyond what you could ever imagine." So when I went to college, the first year I went to college, it was at Southeastern University in Lakeland, Florida. It was an incredible school. And I remember when me and my stepdad Mike went to go visit, it was just an incredible experience. And I think the selling point was when we went to view the school, they had this incredible fountain of Jesus washing Peter's feet. And it was just such a cool moment of like, this is where I'm going to go to school. This is like such a hype experience. And it was incredible. And I remember my first year of college, and it was just an incredible experience. I worked at Chick-fil-A and I was at school. So I was eating good chicken. I was getting good schooling, learning about the Lord. It was incredible. I remember that first week I was leaving a speech class, and there was these guys behind me that were in the class, and they were talking about football and how they played football in high school. And I was triggered. I was like, I played football in high school. I'm looking for friends. Can we be friends? Like, we are like-minded people. And I remember meeting my best friend, Josiah, who's still my best friend now 6 years later. And I feel old for saying when I was in college for the first year. But me and my best friend, Josiah, have been friends ever since that moment. And that has played a huge role in my life, is just his friendship. I also remember the moment in that same year where I was looking at some of the school statements, and I called my mom and I said, yo, this is how much we're taking out in loans, and multiply that by 4 years. This is what I'm going to have to pay back in 4 years. I don't know if I want to do that. I want these loans to be a burden on me, and then I can't decide what I want to do with my life because I'm worried about paying off loans. Like, I don't know if I can do that for 4 years, and just have that thought in my mind. So it was a really hard decision that I had to do, and I had to leave being an independent and off my own for the first time and come back home. But it was a huge humbling experience. And when I talk about, for my thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord, and my ways are far beyond anything you can imagine, I think about that time where I had to make the decision to come home, and I didn't understand why. I didn't understand why the Lord was bringing me through that season to just bring me back home. But then it hit me. I met my best friend Josiah that same year, who's been a lifelong friend despite leaving Southeastern. I also found a calling in Wind Shape Camps in that same season that I successfully did for 5 summers and served internationally and all over the country. I also found a life calling, found Chick-fil-A that I worked for and that I want to work for the rest of my life. So in that season of not understanding and not knowing what the Lord was doing, he still taught me something to look back on and say, hey, this is what that season taught you. This is what I wanted that season to be for you. Even though it didn't work out in your head, this is my plan. This is the light in the path that I had you on to get you to where you are today. So the next thing I want to talk about is just Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. It says, So, brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because all that he has done for you, let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind that he will find acceptable. This is the way to worship him. Do not copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. First off, when I think about this verse, I think about my time at a different church. I was on a Bible quiz team, and there was an incredible man that so poured into me. His name was Danny Kessie, and he was our Bible quiz coach. And although we thought we were just learning questions to answer, we were learning lifelong lessons in everything we studied. So we studied the whole book of Romans, and I remember this, and every time I read it, I think about Mr. Kessie because of how he poured into me. But it also makes me think about all of the mentors that I had in my life. I talked about Mitch and Ricci, I talked about Miss Ernestine, I talked about my parents and my family. But Miss Erickson was there as well. She was a mentor back in 7th grade at John F. Kennedy Middle School that poured into my life. Pastor Billy and Carrie Tisco were mentors that have poured into my life. Gabe Norris in Athens, Georgia has been a mentor in my life that has poured into me. When I think about going back to the same point of how has my ethnicity played a role in my ethnicity never determined how my people influenced me. In a sense, I guess they influenced me because they did not want my ethnicity to influence who I was. They saw that the light that God had in me, and that was the influence they needed to say, hey, I'm going to pour into this guy right here because he's a son of God. And so I just think about those mentors that were placed in my life. But I also think about what this verse is telling us is that we are set apart. We are literally set apart. It says, do not copy the behavior and customs of this world. Even though we were born into this world, they're telling us right here, it says, do not copy the behavior and customs of this world. But here's what it says. It says, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. So in a way, it's saying that, hey, we're all diverse people. We are not of this world. We are out of this world. We are God's holy people, his chosen people. And we should be transformed by the renewing of our mind. So then we will know God's will for us and what is good and pleasing and perfect. We are basically the salt and light of this world. We are not of this world. We are all black. If you want to look at that, we are all white. We are the many colors of the rainbow. And that's who we are as God's chosen people. So I'll close with talking about this. I just wanted to read the rest of Romans 12 because I think it has a lot to say when it comes to diversity in general. So I'll start right where I left off. I'll start with verse 3. It says, because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I do not want to give each. I do want to give each of you this warning. Don't think you are better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourself, measuring yourself by the faith that God has given us. Just as our bodies have many parts, each part has a special function, so it is with the body of Christ. We are many parts of one body, and we belong to each other. In His grace, God has given us many different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak it out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you the leadership ability, take responsibility seriously. And if you have given the gift of showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Do not just pretend to love others, really love them. Hate what is wrong, hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection. Take delight in honoring others. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them, always eager to practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Do not curse them. Pray that God will bless them. Be happy with those who are happy and weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud. Do not be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people. And don't think you know it all. Never pay back evil with more evil. Do things in such a way that everyone can see that you are honorable. Do all that you can do to live in peace with everyone. Dear friends, never take revenge. Leave that to God. Leave that to the God of righteousness. For scriptures say, I will take revenge, I will pay them back, says the Lord. Instead, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals of shame on your heads. Do not let evil conquer you, but let conquer, excuse me, let me say this, because this is good. Do not let evil conquer you, but conquer evil by doing good. Why did I read all that? Because that is a perfect way that we should live our life when it comes to having harmony with one another, when it comes to acknowledging that, okay, we're different because we look different, but in the body of Christ, we have many different parts that make up the same body. That's why it was so good. And when I think about diversity in 2019, I think about we're just getting more diverse and more diverse as we go. So remembering Romans 12, how we, in this body of Christ, have many different parts. Like Richie said, we have many different gifts and talents, but we have one body, and we have are following one Christ. So it's our job as Christians to be the example to the world about how to have harmony and how to be unified, even though we look different, even though we come from different backgrounds, even though we have different personal convictions. We are to die to our flesh and really choose to follow Him, despite what we have grown up into, because we are in the body of Christ and together. The Great Commission, I just want to close on this. It says in Matthew 28, verses 16 through 20, it says, then the 11 disciples left for Galilee, going to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw them, they worshipped Him, and some of them doubted. But Jesus came and told His disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey my commands that I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the ends of the age. Love thy neighbor as Christ would. Just love each other. Love people that are different. Love people that are same. That's what I just want to close with, is just literally the Great Commission is what God has called us to do. As we are many different people and we come from many different backgrounds, our ultimate job is to love each other. And it's a very cliche saying, but we need to love each other as Christ would. Look at each other as Christ would. Be a part of the same family as Christ would. Include each other. Live in harmony. Be unified as Christ would like us to. I think about myself and I think about the amount of times that I felt different because of the way that I look. But ultimately, when I think about the lens that person was looking at me with was not the lens that they should have been as a brother and sister in Christ. So that I challenge you, brothers and sisters in Christ, and I challenge myself with the same conviction, is to look at your neighbor in the same lens as Jesus, the person that we are all choosing to follow would, the person that is the Lord of our life. Give, and sometimes it doesn't come easy. Sometimes we need to take a step back and say, pray, and Lord, let your lens be the lens that I view this person with, and the person, the way that I communicate that to them with. Because sometimes it just doesn't come natural to all of us. But it's something that we are called to do as believers, is to love people as God would. So that's the challenge that I just want to leave you with. Diversity is so real, and it's so present, and it is only becoming more prevalent in this day and age. So I'll just pray, and I'll invite Pastor Richie back up. Father God, thank you so much for this day, Lord. Thank you so much for the story that you have given me, Lord. I just thank you so for every single person that has sowed a seed into my life, Lord. Let it keep bearing so much fruit, and let it honor you, Lord, in everything that it does. Thank you so much again for this opportunity, and we just give the rest of this day to you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Thank you, Chris. You know, it's important that you see people up here who come from different backgrounds, because everyone has it's really all about perspective when you think about it. And I appreciate Chris and what you shared about your family and how you grew up and how really God's grace plucked you out and kind of hid you and for this time and preserved you for what God wanted you to do in your life. You know, that's what God did for you, when you don't even realize that sometimes, that God has protected you and preserved you for where you are right now in your life. Because it really wasn't for the grace of God, most of us would not have made it. We wouldn't have made it. Because of the amount of things that we have gone through in our life and the trauma that we've experienced, that God's grace was sufficient and saw you through and now has made you the person that you are today, so that you can go out and be that salt and be that light in a world that needs you. And honestly, in a world right now that desperately needs Jesus followers to be what they need to be. Because it's not going to get any easier. It's going to get more complicated. Following Jesus is not easy. Couple that with the fact that the world is not getting any easier, but it's getting more diverse and complicated, that you're really going to have the mind of Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit working inside of you in order to be effective in what you're doing. Because God has placed you in your spheres of influence and your business for that purpose. But the Bible also says if you lose your saltiness, what good are you? And so I believe that God wants to make his people salty again. And the only way that happens is that if you draw near in relationship with him in the good times and the bad. It's easy to become less salty when things aren't going right, because you yourself become salty in your attitude and in your emotions. And it's hard to get that under control and really submit that to God and say, okay, God, I want to be led by your Spirit regardless of what's happening in my life. And that's really the true test of a Christian. Can I do it when things aren't working the way that it's supposed to work? Am I still a Christ follower? And we said it, being a Christ follower is not easy. If it were easy, everyone would sign up to do it. There's nobody freely signing up for this. When you give an altar call now, or when you challenge people now, it's dicey. Because the reality of it is that you are signing up to give your life away and to die to what you want and to come to life into what he wants for you. And so helping people understand that you are actually signing up and you are enlisting in God's army, you are enlisting in what God wants you to do, it's not an easy thing. And it's not just not easy, but it's not easy to continue doing it. How many people you know right now are just falling off the wagon? They're falling off. People, prominent people that you've known and that you've heard have come out lately just falling off the wagon. Just they can't do it no more. They're falling off. They're going by the wayside because it's not easy to finish it. John the Baptist had an issue even with it. When he was thrown into prison and he sent word and said, hey, listen, are you the real deal?
This was the guy who went before and said, listen, the straps of this man, I'm not even worthy to untie. This is the guy that God used to prepare the way for Jesus, now in prison, doubting even himself, saying, I don't even know if you're the one. That guy, the guy who was eating wild locusts and honey. Make straight the way of the Lord. Prepare the way. Now saying, I don't even know if you are the way. And so even for you, having to come to grips with that on a regular basis in our life. Because I don't care how well you start. I don't care how well that you have experienced God. There will come a time where you are tested beyond what you think you can bear. And you will have to make a decision of whether or not it is worth it, whether or not I can continue to do this or not. Because it's just hard on me. It's hard on me because I don't see it. I don't see the fruit from it. And it's hard, and especially when you don't think, because it's not happening the way you want it to happen. Even as Chris said, it didn't happen the way I wanted it to happen. I went to school, I had all these dreams, and all of a sudden God said, it's not going to be that way, you're coming back home. And God opened the door for him to do the things he's doing now, but it wasn't easy, and he'll be tested, he'll continue to be tested in it. And so for us, even in our life, to have that understanding, to know that God, if you're with me, I'll do it. Because it is only by the grace of God that you can do it. If anyone starts preaching anything else, it's false. It's false. It's not how good you are. It's the grace of God that is sufficient and continually is sufficient in your life for you to do what God has called you to do. And that's the one thing that makes you appreciate what it is, because it's not by works. And the older you get, the more you realize, I can't boast. You can't boast. Because of the goodness of God, you took responsibility. And listen, for you to stay in it is just a win in itself. I want to encourage you today. For you to sustain it is a win in itself. That's just a win. But at the same time, understanding that narrow is the way that leads to eternal life, and few who find it. There are going to be people that who started out with you are not going to make it in the end. Because it got hard. Here's the question. What about you? When it all comes down to it, and we said this before, it's really all about me and Jesus and my walk with him. Isn't that what he told Peter when he went to restore Peter on the island and they were having a nice breakfast? And Peter was looking out at the other disciples and he's like, well, what about them? And Jesus said, don't worry about them. What's it to you if they stay? You follow me. That's where it is. You follow me through the hard times, through the difficult times. You follow me through the dark. You follow me. I'm not looking for anybody else to go with you. You follow me. I'll send in people in your life every once in a while to help boost you up and to mentor you. But listen, don't hang on to them. You follow me. All they are is pushers in a good way. And once they've done their job, I'm taking them out. That's how it works. And I'll get people to help you and to push you and surround you, but that's it. Remember, it's me and you. I've asked you to go through it. I've asked you to follow me. That's where the relationship really takes its foundation and it takes its root in, when you can do the things that God is asking you to do and not worry about what everybody else is doing. Because remember when he called you. No, he called my family. Yeah, okay, my family got a call. Great. But no, he called you, Phyllis. And sometimes we got to remember that, because we got to like move in and out a little bit and try to, oh yeah, there he is. In the midst of everything that's going on, remember that call. That call continually goes out to you. It doesn't stop. It continually goes out to you. You got a relationship with Jesus. He's constantly calling and saying, come on, come right back into me. You can't do this on your own. Come right back into me. Come, let's develop it. Come right back into me. You got to follow me. Don't follow anyone else. It's great what God is doing, and I love what he's doing. But what about you? Let's all stand on our feet. There are certain things I believe God wants to do in this community and in this nation that's going to require a diversified person. You can't just be what you are right now and expect, well, that's just going to be it. And God's done with me. No, you're going to have to be in an evolution with him and with God on a constant basis. And this is hard and it's difficult because it's easier sometimes just to say, I'm going to stay the same because it's hard to change. But in the reality of it, as a Christian, being a Christ follower is not easy. That means I have to learn and adapt to things that necessarily are not true to my nature. I have to learn and I have to begin to comprehend and understand how to work a sound system that connects with everything on the stage, that transmits a signal back to there, that causes all these TVs to work at the same time, which gives us a worship experience. And so I can't just come in. Mike, you understand what I'm saying? I can't just come in and have a knowledge and say, well, this is just good. No, I have to have a working knowledge of how things work, because if I don't, it won't work. So I believe that God is, what he's doing now in our life, he's saying, listen, I appreciate the fact that you're saved and the fact that you are spiritual and that we have a relationship, but what I'm trying to do right now also, I need to also develop some skills in you. I got to develop you. And so there's an evolution where he's working in the spiritual, but also he's working in the practical at the same time, because you got to be effective in what you're doing. You're going into a world right now who doesn't want Jesus. And so you got to be able to represent him in what you do. And so the world takes notice in the fact that I have wisdom and I have a degree or I have some skill in something. And so what that does is that opens the door for me to be able to share of who I am. That's why God goes to work in us and say, listen, I need you to be a little bit more diversified in what you're doing and allow me to do that so you can be effective. You got to be effective. You know, you sports, we use this example in sports all the time. There are players who can play different positions in sports. They are valuable. Valuable. Because you can plug them in at third, you can plug them in at short, you can plug them in, because they have the ability to be able to go, and their stock rises because they can do that. Don't get caught up in, well, this is just what I do. No, that's one thing you do. You need to stretch yourself out a little bit and allow God to stretch you in some areas that you're not comfortable necessarily in, but it's for your good. And we say this all this time at this church. We do hard things because it breaks us out of what we think we're capable of and shows us that we have a God who is capable of doing more through us, because when we can't, we know he can. And so he goes in and he stretches out and he makes room in our lives so that we can learn and comprehend, because there are gifts and talents inside of you that you don't even know that are there yet. But they surface in different seasons. And many times we ask God, why is it coming into this season? Because this is when you need it in this season. And so you can't get comfortable in one season and say that's it, because God immediately will start to break you out and say, now we got something else to do. We got something else to do. Remember, we're building wings. And so I need you to fly. I need you to be diversified. Understand multiple things. Because God he doesn't just want you to be spiritual. He wants you to be effective. So what is God asking you to do, and what have you been privileged in being allowed to learn in your life? I'm telling you, there are things right now where you walk into different places, you should be the solution. You're the solution. Well, I'll tell you what, I don't know all about that, but I'm going to find out about that. That changes. See, that's what makes a person, a Christian, effective. When they go in and they say, I don't know, but I'll find out about that. Because, you know, inside you know, I got a God that I can talk to you about that. I got a guy. You may not know, but find someone who does. People want that. People want people who know they can, they're solution-oriented. They can get stuff done. That I know I'm preaching a little bit. You're okay. It's only 11:35. We'll be done. Okay? You'll be fine. It's important that you understand this because sometimes we get messed up in our head where it's like, I don't understand why I'm doing this in my life. It's for a reason. It's for a purpose. You know things now you didn't know 5 years ago. You know things now you didn't know last year because you're learning, you're growing, you're developing, and you can go in and say, you know what? I heard about that. And case in point, you come into a situation like, wait a minute, I saw that. Wait a minute, I saw him do that one time. And all of a sudden, it triggers something in your mind, and it's a solution because you're allowing yourself to learn and grow. You're around people. That's why we do community. That's why we're involved in community, because we're pushing one another. We're learning from one another. I can do better if I've got other people around me who we're trying to look at something in different ways, but we're learning. We're putting in the time to learn. We're just getting it done. We're just getting it done. Well, what, it didn't happen? No, we're just getting it done. We're just figuring it out. We joke all the time about you should come out of just church in general, but church planning with a PhD in something. This is privileged stuff. You don't learn this stuff at different levels that are higher than this. You learn stuff at a ground level that you never thought you would learn that make you valuable. How'd you learn that? I'll tell you how. I got in and I just figured it out. Father, thank you for your great goodness. Thank you for your people who are diversified in here. You've called them from every different walk of life, every different nationality. Thank you for your goodness and your grace. Ah, it's so sufficient. It's so sufficient. God, even in times where we don't get it and understand it, I thank you, God, for just stretching people and God, and helping them see past their limitations into what is possible. You're not looking for one-trick ponies. You're looking for a circus of people who can do different things, who are multifaceted, who can speak but serve, who can lead and give, who can pray and prophesy. People who have the ability to affect change wherever they go. God, thank you for that. Thank you for the ability for us to see that and change and to learn and to grow. Thank you, God, just for people having a willingness just to know that it's your kingdom that we're about and that we're representing you. I thank you, God, for bringing people just to a different level of excellence in their life. Just a different level of what's possible in their life, that when they see problems, God, they're going to run toward them and say, you know, let's figure this out, rather than say, nah, it's just not for me. But those are the very things that you use to break them out of where they were. Break them out of the cocoon that they're in. Help people, God, to embrace that stuff when they're out on a ledge wondering what to do. God, I pray that you would just help them just jump in it. Use wisdom, but jump in it. Thank you, God, for people who are just going to believe you and just want to grow, want to learn, and be effective. I thank you, God, just for a new level of anointing that's going to rise up in this house, for people who just know who you are. They know you in a new way, an intimate way, because they've seen you in the difficult times, the hard times, come through, develop things inside of them that were impossible any other way. Thank you, God, for a genuineness that's going to come through your people, but also a confidence and a power. Because we got this because of who you are. God, we're just so thankful for what you're doing. We know the best is yet to come. In Jesus' name, amen.